Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 363 in the series. It is February 17th, 2019. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's up?
We have Shante Garth in the booth, our producer, and we have two great classic radio shows. We will be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. We have Suspense to start things off. Charles Laughton stars in An Honest Man from 1948. Then William Bendix stars as Chester A. Riley in The Life of Riley from the same year, 1948. But first, we're going to start things off with our game, Cat's Pride, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous?
Yes, and we're going to start with Sigourney Weaver. She's our celebrity, and we are going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for whoever is caller number 5. And they're going to call in at 312-981-7200.
Call now, 312-981-7200. And we'll play the game live on the air right after these words. Come on, baby. Let's
get ridiculous. We have Glenn on the phone. Hey, Glenn.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, just great. How are you doing?
Terrific.
Hi,
ready,
Glenn,
to get down and dirty with a little Real or Ridiculous?
Yeah.
Ooh, Lisa.
Oh, Carl.
Oh, boy.
All right. Carl's a great lifeline.
Calm down, Lisa.
I know. Very excited. Okay, number one. She chose the name Sigourney from a character in The Great Gatsby. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I'm going to agree with Glenn.
It is absolutely real.
What?
She chose that at age 14 from a character in The Great Gatsby. So close,
oh,
though.
Oh, boy, Glenn.
All right.
We're off to a bad start, Glenn.
Number two. Her major film debut was in 1977 when she appeared as Woody Allen's movie date in Annie Hall.
Wow. I'm going to say that's real.
I think that is real. I agree with Glenn.
It is real, and she was on for a total of 6 seconds. Isn't that crazy? But, you know, that's one of those lines you got to make it work. Take those 6 seconds and make them remember. Number three, in 2008, Sigourney...
That's all I need, actually.
6 seconds. That's... I'm so sorry for you. Okay, number three. Okay. In 2008, Sigourney Weaver provided the voice...
That's actually a long time.
For you,
seconds.
I'm sure it is. For the computer in Disney's WALL-E. Was she the voice for the computer in Disney's WALL-E?
What do you think, Glenn?
I'm going to say real.
I'm gonna say ridiculous.
It's real.
Oh,
you
gosh.
Got that.
WALL-E.
WALL-E got it.
WALL-E, it's Glenn. Right. You mean Glenn?
I mean Glenn.
Oh, we're all messed up here, Glenn.
You're messed up. You're messing me up. Glenn, do you like Lou Malnati's?
I do, indeed.
I do, too. Well, you've just won a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza and our personal favorite here at WGN Radio Theater. You can find one of the 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much for playing. We had fun. I don't know if you did, but we sure did.
Thanks, Glenn. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
He's
all
a big winner.
Now for the two of you.
Yes.
Now, you can't look at your notes,
okay.
Lisa.
Okay. I won't.
Okay. But let's check. Let's see how good Carl is.
All right.
What was Sigourney Weaver's father's claim to fame?
What was his name?
Dennis Weaver.
No. Sylvester Pat Weaver.
Yeah. What did he do?
I don't know him. I'm so sorry. I wish I did.
You don't know.
No.
I'll give you a hint. The apple did not fall too far from the family tree in the case of Sigourney from her father. Her father was big in this industry.
Well, we better tell our listeners quickly, otherwise we're going way over time.
The National Broadcasting
NBC?
Company?
Yeah, NBC.
Yes.
He was a big wig there?
Yes.
All right.
Today Show, Tonight Show.
You know what? It runs in the family. It's in
Very
the genes.
Very cool. All right. Well, I didn't know that.
Nope, me neither.
All right. Thank you, David. Okay, ready for suspense, everybody?
Yes, I
am. Let's get right into this because we're way late. This is going back to August 5th, 1948. It's called An Honest Man, and it stars Charles Laughton. Here's a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
In just a moment, Suspense, starring Charles Laughton.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Dad.
You're working kind of late on your bicycle, aren't you?
Yeah, the old bike hasn't been getting going just right. Boy, did I puff up 2nd Street this morning.
Just like the car, Billy, till I had that new Autolite Stay Full battery put in. Well, my boy, you just keep at it. I'm going in and coast along with Autolite batteries, spark plugs, and ignition systems on the Suspense Show.
Dad, if you want to listen to the Autolite Show, you'd better stay out here in the garage with me.
Why?
Mom's got her bridge club in tonight.
What? Why, yep. She doggone well knows I want to hear Charles Laughton. By all the drinks my Stay Full battery doesn't eat, I...
Take it easy, Dad. Here comes Charles Laughton.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Charles Laughton in Anton Leder's production of An Honest Man. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I couldn't sleep. I lay in bed that night listening to the stillness and loneliness of the empty house and tried to bring my mother back to me.
Freddy, my son, I must leave you now. I know that you will miss me, but you needn't, for you are strong. I shall not be worried about you. I have taught you well.
Taught me well. For the first time, the meaning of those words became clear to me. The tears dried in my eyes, my jaws clenched. That was the woman, my mother, to whom I'd been closer than anyone else in the world. Indeed, I'd been close to no one but my mother in all my 44 years. And after the tears, a flood of memories passed before my eyes. And after the memories came the realization that I was glad. My mother was dead. And I was glad. All the next day at the store, I worked in a sort of a haze of happiness and well-being. Dora smiled at me once or twice, but we were both very busy. During the rush hour, Mr. Kelsey came in to help out, as he always did. And about 9:45, he said what I realized that I'd been hoping to hear all day.
You got your day's receipts totaled yet, Freddy?
I'm just finishing them now, Mr. Kelsey.
Well, I think I'll knock off. When you get through, just put the money in the safe and lock it. I won't go to the bank till afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Kelsey.
You can both close up whenever you're through what you're doing. See you tomorrow.
Yes, Mr. Kelsey. Good night, Mr. Kelsey. $123.14. Check.
Mr. Kelsey sure trusts you, don't he?
He should, after 26 years.
26 years? You've been working here that long?
Sounds like a long time when you're sick. It doesn't seem that way to me.
Well, I guess it's quitting time. Oh, boy, are my feet tired. 26 years. You going to put out the lights or you want me to?
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay. Well, I'm leaving. So long.
Miss Dora?
Yeah?
May I ask you something?
Sure, what is it?
Well, Oh, isn't it a beautiful night?
You sure that door's locked?
Oh, yes. I was just wondering.
Mm.
I was wondering if you'd mind if I walked home with you. It's a little out of my way.
Well, sure, why not? Oh, but say, don't you have to get home to your mother? Oh, gee, Freddie, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Must have been a terrible blow to you.
Yes, it was.
And you taken care of her all that time?
26 years, but you mustn't think that that was a hardship. You see, I owe everything in the world to my mother. Everything that I am or ever will be.
Oh, I know what you mean. I always say, a person's
Miss
mother...
Dora, I've never told this to anyone,
say,
but I do.
I've been meaning to ask you, the way you always call me Miss Dora, and I mean, the way you talk, it's so refined. Really? I bet you had a real good education once, didn't you?
No, not formally. But you see, my mother was a governess, and she always tried to give me the same advantages as she would the children under her care. My mother was a highly educated woman.
Well, I knew it must be something like that. Anyway, you don't have to call me Miss Dora. I mean, seeing we're kind of old friends. Say, what was it you was going to tell me before?
Oh, that was something about my mother. Something she taught me. I'll never forget it as long as I live. You happened to remind me of it when you remarked how Mr. Kelsey trusted me.
Well, what was it?
Well, it was just before my 11th birthday. There was a motion picture that I wanted to see very badly. Actually, it was something about cowboys, I think. But my mother said we couldn't afford it, and so I took 10 cents from her purse, and she found it out.
What'd she say?
Well, she whipped me. It was the only time she ever did, until I could hardly walk. She said I'd done the worst thing that anyone could ever do, that I had been dishonest. I was a thief.
You dishonest. Oh, that's a laugh. I never knew anybody more honest in all my life. Well, look at the way Mr. Kelsey
always... Yes, but only because of what my mother taught me. I've been grateful to her all my life for that. I always will be.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Well, they say honesty's the best policy, and I guess it is all right, but... Now, you take Tom Bass.
What about him?
Well, I wouldn't exactly say he's dishonest, but... He's sure having a lot more fun than you or me.
But, Dora, I'm sure you'll agree that there are more important things in life than just having fun.
Oh, sure, of course. I didn't mean it like that.
And what I mean to say is, you couldn't admire a fellow like this Bass, could you?
Tom Bass? Oh, I should say not. Thinks he's so smart with his wisecracks and his cheap jokes. I wouldn't give him the time of day.
Is there anyone, that is to say, any man... You do admire?
Yeah, not me. Oh, I admire you, of course.
You really?
Well, sure. But if you mean, do I go out steady with anyone?
Have you ever thought of the kind of man that you would go steady with?
My dream man? Oh, sure. But you just don't find them growing on trees. Not that kind.
What kind, Dora?
Oh, when I say dream man, don't get me wrong. I don't go for those glamour boys. I've been around enough to know better than that. You just give me a nice, easygoing fellow with a steady job.
That sounds like a description of me.
And a little money put away in the bank. That's the kind of fellow I want.
Did you say money?
Well, sure. A fellow's never going to get very far if he doesn't have a little laid aside for a rainy day.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, I suppose that is right, but how much money do you think such a fellow ought to have?
Oh, $1,000. You know, just something for kind of a little nest egg.
Little, oh, yes, of course, yes.
Well, here's where I live. Thanks for the walk.
Dora?
Yeah?
If you were to find such a man...
Who?
A man with a steady job and money in the bank...
Oh, him.
I mean, would you consider, I mean, would you...
Would I what? Oh, I get it. Well, sure, if I thought I could make him happy.
Oh, I know you would.
Why not? Well, till death do us part.
It was strange that she should have said that when death had parted me only a few brief hours before they found the only woman in my life, my mother. And now so soon after there was another woman, but she was there. That $1,000, that stood in the way. With all the expense of the funeral still to be met, I knew that it would take me at least 2 years to accumulate such a sum. And Dora was a warm and attractive girl. I couldn't expect her to wait that long. It wouldn't be fair. So by the next morning, my first fond hope had turned to black despair. I hardly noticed Tom Bass when he sauntered into the store.
Hiya, honey. Well, you know what's new?
Oh, hello there.
Play safe, Freddy boy.
I beg your pardon.
What's the matter? You in love or something? Say, remember that horse I told you about last week?
Horse?
You remember Revelation? I told you to get down on him at 8-1.
Oh, yes.
Well, what did I tell you?
Well, to tell you the truth, I have had a number of things in my mind lately.
He won, chump. He won. Just like I told you he would. Now, ain't you sorry you didn't get a couple of bucks down on him?
Oh, yes, yes, but really, I don't know very much about horse racing.
Never too late to learn. Say, give me a hot pastrami on rye, will you?
Mustard?
Yeah.
A little lettuce?
Nah, skip that.
You want it to go, or you...
I'll eat it here. Say, how come a guy like you ever learned to make such good sandwiches? They're the best in town, no kidding.
My mother taught me.
Is that a fact?
My mother taught me everything I know.
Yeah? Say, must be good to feel like that about your old lady. I haven't seen mine for 10 years.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Is your mother dead?
No. I just took a powder when I was a kid. I couldn't stand it around there anymore.
You couldn't stand it around your own mother?
Yeah. All she ever did was yap, yap, yap. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Finally, one day I told her what she could do and I beat it.
But how could she get along without you? What did she do?
I don't know. Same old thing, I guess. Working the laundry. Say, look, Freddy. Pay her for the sandwich tomorrow, okay? All I got's a 50.
Well, if you won't forget, I did have to remind you last time, you know. I have to take it out of my own pocket.
You're a good guy, Freddy. Say, in fact, you know what? I think I'm going to let you in on something.
Oh.
Freddy, listen. I got a tip so hot it's burning the seat of my pants. Avalanche in the third at Santa Rosa today. Strictly a drugstore job.
What?
They're going to give him the needle. I got it from his trainer, myself, in person. Avalanche can't any more lose that race than I can sing High C. You know what the odds are? 100-1. 100-1.
100-1.
That's what I said.
Do you mean to tell me that if someone were to bet $10 on this horse, they'd win back $1,000?
You ain't just bird calling. You put a tenner on that beetle and you'll have $1,000 in your hot little hand by tonight.
Oh, I wish I could, but I don't have $10 or anywhere near it. I don't get paid until tomorrow, you see.
Out of 5.
Oh, out of 5. Here you are, Dora.
Thanks.
Hey, Freddy. What's the matter?
Yeah.
You can always lay your hand on a 10 when you want it, can't you?
I can, how? Oh, no. That's Mr. Kelsey's money.
Oh, not till tonight. What Mr. Kelsey don't know, he's going to hurt him, isn't
he? Oh, no, I couldn't do anything like that.
Okay, I'll be back. But think it over, friend. 1,000 skinneroos, and that ain't horse feet.
1,000 skinneroos.
Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Charles Lawton in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense starring Charles Lawton. We'll have more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. It's 11:37. Thanks, David. And we are in the midst of listening to Suspense, Lisa, so we'll have that conclusion for you in just a moment. After that, it's The Life of Riley, good comedy, with William Bendix as Chester A. Riley, a show that was not only on radio, there were films made about it, and a very long-lasting television show as well. And for a while, Jackie Gleason played Chester A. Riley. In fact, it was the first season on television because William Bendix had a movie contract. He couldn't get out of his movie contract, and he couldn't do television. He could do the radio show, but they wouldn't let him do the first season on television. So Jackie Gleason played the part. Then he was able to get out of his contract, and he then took back the role and carried it throughout the run of the TV series. So very interesting. A lot of fun. You'll hear a good comedy in just a moment. But right now, the conclusion to An Honest Man, starring Charles Lawton on Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Charles Lawton as Freddy in An Honest Man, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Well, of course, I could think of nothing else all morning. My mind was in a whirl. $1,000. With $1,000, I could propose to Dora. I could propose to her that very night. At the same time, was the appalling thought of what I'd have to do. I would have to take $10 from the cash register. $10, which was not mine. That would be stealing. I would be a thief. I thought, I wondered, perhaps Tom Bass was right. It wouldn't be stealing if I put the money back, and by tonight I'd have the $1,000. I could put it back. But that was it. That was the difference. Well, I'd taken the money from Mother that time. I'd no prospect of replacing it. But this way, so the next time I went to the cash register to make change, I slipped $10 out of the drawer and put it into my apron pocket. After that, I found I was perspiring and my hands trembled so that I nearly cut myself a dozen times working at my sandwich board. And I saw Tom Bass coming through the door. Tom! Tom!
Yeah? What's the matter?
$10.
$10? Oh, yeah. Say, now you're getting smart. Give it to me. I'll place it on
there.
Yeah,
but Tom, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure?
I tell you, the nag is in at a walk. I got a few skins down on this one myself, don't forget.
All right, but when'll I get the money?
6 o'clock tonight, the latest. I'll bring it around myself. Give me the 10.
Yeah. You won't forget, will you?
Forget? With $1,000 in my kick, how could I forget? Relax. You got nothing to worry about.
Freddy? What was you and Tom talking about just now?
Oh, he was just telling me about some horse or other.
Well, you better be careful how you talk to him about horses.
Why do you say that?
Well, that's the way he makes his living, ain't it?
Yes, I should rather imagine it is. Oh, Dora.
Yeah?
Would you care to, that is, when we're through work, would you care to go somewhere with me this evening?
Go where? Oh, why, Freddy, are you asking me for a date?
Yes, I suppose I am.
Oh, Freddy, that's real cute. I might even take you up on it.
You mean that you will go?
I might. I'll tell you at quitting time.
Why can't you tell me now?
Oh, something might come up.
What could come up?
I don't know what could come up. Anything could come up. One of us might drop dead.
Strange sense of humor, Dora's. But I get used to that, you know. Anyway, she had practically said yes to the date, so I passed the rest of the afternoon busy with thoughts of the good fortune that was awaiting me. At 5, Mr. Kelsey came in, and shortly thereafter there was a rush of customers that took up all my attention, so that it was with something of a start that I looked at the clock and saw that it was nearly 6:30. But Tom had said 6 no later than 6. Still, it was quite understandable that in a transaction of such magnitude, he might have met with some unforeseeable delay. So I tried to compose myself to remain calm and to wait, but the minutes and then the hours passed. By 9 o'clock, I was in such a state I could hardly conceal it, and yet I had to. I had to, and then suddenly at 9:30, I saw him. He was walking rather hurriedly, I thought, along the opposite side of the street, and throwing caution to the wind, I dashed from behind the counter and out of the door. Tom! Tom!
Oh, hiya, Freddy. For a minute there, I didn't recognize you.
I'm so sorry to trouble you this way, but it was so late, I thought you might have forgotten.
No, I didn't forget.
Did you have the money with you?
Freddy, I've been meaning to come in all evening and tell you about that, but I didn't know how to say it.
Say what?
It's getting so you can't trust nobody nowadays. Believe me, kid, I feel as bad about this as you do.
Well, Tom,
what happened? That lion trainer, he never done a thing to that horse. The bum come in last.
I mean that we lost it. My money's gone.
Yeah.
Lost.
Oh, don't take it too hard, kid. You stick with me and I'll have that 10 back for you, double and triple by the end of next week. You know, somebody wins, somebody loses. You know, take it easy now.
Mother. Mother. Help me. I'm a thief. I turned back to the store automatically, but even now I could hardly grasp the full extent of the catastrophe which had overwhelmed me. All I knew that tomorrow was payday, and I could only prevent Mr. Kelsey from finding out until then.
What happened to you?
What was that, Mr. Kelsey?
You looked like you seen a ghost or something.
You went charging out of here a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, yes, I thought I saw someone I knew, someone I'd known as a child.
Oh, yeah, it happens to me all the time.
Does it?
Well, it's pretty late. You can both beat it if you want to. I'll check the receipts tonight myself. Hey, what you doing?
I dropped a knife. You want us to go?
Yeah, you might as well. I'll be here late anyway. I'll close up.
Well, that sure don't make me mad. Gee, I've been ready to drop for the last hour.
Mr. Kelsey, I'd be glad to check the receipts for you. You don't have
to.
Yeah,
I know, but I got an auditor coming in tomorrow. I got to go over the books for the last 6 months. Seems I got some kind of beef with the tax people.
Oh, come on, Freddie. Let the boss do a little work for a change. Anyway, I thought you had other plans for tonight.
Yes, I did, but... Mr. Kelsey, I'd rather you let me do it, really. It wouldn't be any trouble.
Well, if that's the way it is, I'm leaving.
Shove me over that adding machine before you go, will you, Dora?
Yeah, sure. Night, Mr. Kelsey.
Night.
Dora?
Good night, Mr. McWilliams.
What's the matter with her? You two been having trouble?
Oh, no. Mr. Kelsey, I do not like to have you checking the receipts all by yourself.
I don't like it either. But it's got to be done. You run along now. See you tomorrow.
But I don't want you to do it.
Look, Freddie, thanks for trying to help, but just leave me alone, will you? I got a lot of work to do tonight.
No. Stop.
Say, what's eating you? I told you once...
Now, I've always done it before. It makes me feel that you don't trust me, you see.
Freddie, what kind of way to talk is that? I've been trusting you for 26 years, haven't I? Why should I stop tonight all of a sudden?
Mr. Kelsey.
Hmm? 118.37. Hey, that's funny. We're $10 short.
I knew what he would say next. I knew that I had to stop him before he said that awful word.
$10 short. Now, how could... Freddie, what are you doing? Freddie?
I washed my hands most carefully at the sink and dried them on my apron. And I bent over Mr. Kelsey, or rather, Mr. Kelsey's body, and I removed from his pocket the sum of $32.50, the exact amount that would be owing to me in salary on the following day. Of this sum, I put $10 in the cash register. Then I left the store and went home. It was all right now. Everything was all right. I was not a thief. I was so exhausted when I got home and just dropped in my bed. I must have fallen asleep that way because I was fully clothed when I was awakened some hours later.
Yes? Yes? Who is it?
It's me, Dora. Let me in.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, Freddie, I'm so glad I found you. You've got to help me. You've got to do something.
Why, of course, my dear. What can I do?
Freddie, Mr. Kelsey. Mr. Kelsey's dead.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry that had to happen, Dora. Believe me, I am.
How can you stand there and be so calm about it? Freddie, he was murdered and they got Tom for it. They say he did it. They got him down at the police station right now.
Tom? Tom Bass?
Yes. Tom said he was just going by the store and he saw the lights on and he went in. And then he found Mr. Kelsey there with a knife in him and he didn't know what to do. And just then the cop on the beat walked in and they arrested him right there.
But I can hardly believe a man like Tom Bass could have any good reason to kill Mr. Kelsey.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I've been telling the cops for the past hour. He may be a little shady, I said. Well, he may have done some things that wasn't exactly right, but my boyfriend wouldn't commit murder, I said. He wouldn't.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, I said... Oh, gee, Freddie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
Yes, but you told me that there was not anyone.
Well, there wasn't, honest. That's the truth. I'd just been out with him 2-3 times. I didn't know he meant anything. I didn't even think I liked him. But when I saw him down there and I saw what they were doing to him,
Your boyfriend.
Oh, Freddie, please. Please, don't be mad at me. I was half crazy. I didn't know who else to come to. You gotta do something for him.
Dora.
What?
Do you love him?
Yeah. I guess I do.
I see. I left her there and started for the police station. Tom Bass meant nothing to me, of course. It meant less than nothing now. But, of course, Dora, that was something else again. I didn't know exactly what I should do, but the sergeant helped me to make up my mind.
Well?
I understand that you have a prisoner here who is accused of killing one Henry Kelsey.
That's right. You're his mouthpiece?
Oh, no. I was an employee of Mr. Kelsey's for 26 years.
Mac Williams?
Frederick Aloysius Mac Williams.
Yeah, we know about you. We may want to ask you a few questions tomorrow. But you got nothing to worry about. We got our man.
You have all the evidence you need?
Of course we got all the evidence we need. But why would we be holding him? Mm. We caught him red-handed. And he's got a record since he was 14 years old.
Dear me. But supposing that I had positive evidence that the prisoner Tom Bass did not kill Mr. Kelsey.
This had better be good, I'm warning you.
Tell me, it would be dishonest to withhold that information, wouldn't it?
You're doggone tootin' it would.
I mean, you see, it would be like stealing, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be stealing. It's stealing another man's life.
But are you trying to kid somebody?
No, I've never been more serious in my life.
All right, if you know so much, who did kill Kelsey?
I did. Poor Dora. I'm afraid she'll have to wait a year for Tom Bass. It seems the police frown on his method of making a living. Well, as for me, a great calm has settled over me. Oh, such a calm as I've never known before in my life. Soon I shall be joining Mother. She will smile when she sees me, and I know that she'll be proud of me and she'll understand. She'll understand that whatever faults I may have had, I was not a thief.
Thank you, Charles Lawton, for an extraordinary performance. Mr. Lawton will return in just a moment.
Say, Billy, Charles Lawton was certainly in the groove tonight.
I'll say. Hey, Dad, here comes Mom.
I just thought you two'd be out here puttering, you and your bikes and batteries, with Charles Lawton on the suspense program, too.
Mary, did you listen to Suspense?
Why, of course I did. You're always talking about your Autolite stay-full battery, so I thought I'd listen to Suspense and get the real facts.
Well, what about the Bridge Club?
Oh, they came early so we could all listen to Charles Lawton. My guests are just leaving now.
Well, Dad, I guess we men can't win. What do we do now?
Why, finish your evening right, gentlemen. Listen to the Autolite announcer signing off.
So remember, folks, Autolite stay-full needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. That's another reason why everybody is switching to Autolite Stay Full Batteries. Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition engineered spark plugs.
Autolite means ignition system.
The lifeline of your car. And now, here again is Mr. Charles Lawton.
It has been a great pleasure to appear again on Suspense. And I'm certainly looking forward to listening next week when Anne Southern comes to the microphone as a deceiving wife who learns a lesson the hard way. It is a story titled Beware the Quiet Man, and it's a gripping study in
Suspense.
Charles Lawton may currently be seen in Paramount's The Big Clock. Tonight's suspense play was written by Robert L. Richards, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Anne Southern in Beware the Quiet Man.
This is the audio.
Land Show. We congratulate the United States Coast Guard on the celebration of its 158th anniversary this week. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense, August 5th, 1948, An Honest Man, starring Charles Laughton. Time for some spots, then we'll be right back. All right, it is midnight here on WGN and pretty much everywhere else in the Midwest. Not just here at WGN, Lisa.
We run on our own clocks here at WGN.
This is true. You run on your own clock, all right.
We are on our own little world.
You're quite
right
a clock.
Here. What does that mean?
You're a cuckoo clock is what you are. Anyway.
Good one, Carl.
All right. So in our next hour, we have The Life of Riley. You won't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. It is 7 minutes after midnight here on a Monday morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. And our text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. And Lisa responds to most every text, pretty much. I mean,
and I definitely read them all, and the good ones I read to Carl because he can't really read himself, so
right.
I just read them aloud.
Yeah,
but
I can read,
you.
But the screen is over by her. I can't see the text.
She just
screen.
Can't see that far.
I have all these buttons and dials and to calibrate and to make sure the commercials get and all this
to
and
make sure we don't drop
blah,
any
blah,
commercials.
Blah 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 blah, and make sure we play all the classic radio shows in the right order
well,
and all that
sure.
good stuff. But Shante is the main gal in there. She's making sure everything shoots off at the right time, and we have all the radio shows in order and all that good stuff. But it's because I have a good team here. Lisa,
well,
Mike,
that's true.
Shante, Roger, David, and
that about covers
Vic.
It.
Is there anybody else? Yeah, that's pretty
well,
much
well, we've
it.
Got Ernie and
yeah,
Dan
Ernie.
Long, our engineers.
I have my crabby brother, Vince. He tells me he doesn't like Gildersleeve whenever I play Gildersleeve.
That's old news
But he
already.
Loves Duffy's Tavern, and I think he likes The Life of Riley, and that's coming up in this hour. The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley, but right now it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is Sean Penn. And I want to mention, we are going to be giving away the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers. And I just received mine yesterday. I posted a picture of it
She's
on our WGN Radio
now.
Theater website, Facebook page. Check it out. It's a really cool prize. Check it out. You can get all the information on our Facebook page at WGN
Bragger.
Radio Theater.
Bragger.
Well, you know what the thing is? I keep talking about it and giving them away. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be giving them away and talking about it, I really should know what I'm talking about.
This is true.
Right?
All right. So what caller would you
We're
like?
We're going to go with caller number 4. Call
right.
now,
312-981-7200. Call now. Play
call
the
now,
game. We'll
play
be
the
right
game.
Back.
We'll be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. We've got Henry on the phone. Hi, Henry.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Henry.
I'm good.
Good. All We're right. glad you're on the line to play with us. We're going to do a little Sean Penn with our Real or Ridiculous. You ready to go?
Okay, here we
okay,
go.
Okay, guys. Here we go. Number one, Carl's got his sound effects ready. In 1995, Sean Penn wrote, produced, and directed The Crossing Guard, starring Jack Nicholson. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to go with real.
All right.
I know Henry knows his stuff, but I'm going to disagree.
Oh.
It's real.
Oh, shoot.
Henry knows his stuff.
Henry.
Why would you disagree?
All right, this is for
What's
you,
matter
Henry.
What's the matter with you?
And here's for me.
Oh, all right.
I stink at this game.
Maybe you just stink. Number two, Sean Penn launched his film career in 1982 with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Is that real or ridiculous?
Yeah, that sounds real. I think I remember him saying, was that him that said, that was my skull?
Yes, that you are absolutely right, Henry. He's like, it was my skull, after he hits himself on the head with his shoe. I don't know that it was his first movie, but that's why I think it's probably ridiculous. So I'm going to
well,
say ridiculous.
Well, let me clarify. I said he launched his film
oh,
career.
Oh, then yes, I agree. I agree with Henry. That was his big big break up until that point. He had not really been in any movie that would launched his career.
Think again. He was in a movie that launched his career prior
to Fast Times,
at Ridgemont High, which is what I'm trying to get
Lost
at here.
Lost Boys or something
no,
like that?
No, it was 1981, the year before. What launched his film career was Taps.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That was his big movie.
All right,
movie.
So we both...
I'm so sorry. We didn't get that tricky. One.
All right, she's tricky. That Lisa Wolf.
Tricky Dicky number three. Sean Penn won his second Academy Award for Best Actor for his portrayal of Harvey Milk in the film Milk.
At this point, I got to go with, since the last one was not true, we're going to go true with this one.
I'm trying to think what he won before that. I mean. I'll say real.
It is real.
Yeah.
You both got it. In 2004, he won for Mystic River, and this was his second
Clint Eastwood
Academy Award.
Directed that.
So I think you guys still did pretty well,
not
right?
Bad.
He still got
Henry
two
got
rights.
Two, I
so
think.
So that
I,
two
I only
is
got
good.
One, but.
And you know what? We are so excited to give you the desktop indoor weather station. It is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. And don't forget to go to our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. You can see a picture of this great device, the desktop indoor weather station, and get all sorts of information about American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
All right.
Check it out. I just posted it just maybe 5 minutes ago.
Very cool.
Thank
hey, Henry.
You so
thanks
much
a
for
lot.
Playing,
Appreciate
Henry.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. He's a big winner. Make sure you text us 312-981-7200. Time now for The Life of Riley. This was a great comedy series created by a very good friend of mine, Lisa. I got to be very good friends with Irving Brecker. He taught me a lot. When I reached out to him years and years ago to license The Life of Riley, he was pretty tough cookie. And he was just like, you know, you're going to have to pay me in advance. You're going to have to put a whole presentation together, show me what you're going to do with my show. I'm not going to just let you license my program. You know, he was tough.
You do all that?
I did. It took me a long time. And I had to license a lot of other shows and prove to him that I was really serious about the classic radio show business and all that. And then I went out and met with him, and he used to take me to
Where was that?
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He lived on Wilshire Boulevard. He had a beautiful apartment, and in his apartment I'll never forget. He had red, thick shag carpeting in his apartment. He had a beautiful piano, and he had his Academy Awards on the piano.
Wow.
Because he had won Academy Awards for, I believe it was, he wrote Meet Me in St. Louis. And he also wrote some of the Marx Brothers movies. I don't think he won an Academy Award for that. But he had Emmys for his TV series, Life of Riley, because it was on television right. for a while. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. He used to take me to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club. We used to have lunch. And he loved talking about these days. And
sure.
He was really a writer. I mean, he wasn't really, he was really a writer. But then he created this character of The Life of Riley for his friend Groucho Marx. He was writing movies for Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx wanted to do a radio show. And so he came up with an idea. He called the show The Flotsam Family, and he recorded a pilot with Groucho, but for some reason it didn't sell. You would think Groucho Marx, you know,
right, sure.
didn't sell. And so years later, he revamped it and cast William Bendix, and it sold with William Bendix in the role. He told me all about it, and he was just a wonderful guy. He wrote Bye Bye Birdie. It's another movie he wrote. I think he won for that one as well.
And he found you worthy.
Yeah.
Right?
And he licensed me the Life of Riley series. So we have an episode for you now going back to May 7th, 1948. This show created by Irving Brecker. This is called The Dog Catcher. It stars William Bendix. Here's part one of The Life of Riley.
The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley, a half hour with radio's friendliest family, and starring William Bendix as Riley. Those of us who know war worker Riley know that his life consists of a series of emotional ups and downs. Last week, for example, Riley, after much effort, finally got rid of his wife's Uncle Baxter, his unwelcome house guest for the last 2 years. And brother, was Riley up. But no sooner did the door close on Uncle Baxter than in came Baxter's brother, Uncle Buckley. And brother, was Riley down. A week has passed, but Uncle Buckley is still there, and Riley is still down. At the moment, he is brooding in the living room of the small Riley house in the suburb of Los Angeles.
Peg, where's my blue tie?
Oh, I think Uncle Buckley borrowed it.
Starting all over again. Tomorrow it'll be my suit. First it was Baxter, now it's Buckley. I get rid of a headache, now I got a toothache.
Stop grumbling, dear.
The way that Buckley eats. Baxter was on a hunger strike compared to this guy.
Now stop criticizing my uncle. He's only human. Everybody loves food.
Loving food is one thing. Trying to elope with our icebox is another. This guy can eat a turkey leg without stopping at the bone.
Well, he won't stay here forever. Just a couple of days.
Don't say it. That's what you said about Baxter, and he stayed 2 years.
Oh, relax, Riley. Here, I'll turn on the radio, and you can forget your big trouble.
We are facing political disaster, and I'm going to tell you why.
No, you ain't, pal.
Oh, look, why'd you shut it off, Riley?
It's just one of them politicians beating his gums again. Those fellas must have iron tonsils.
I want to know how to vote, dear.
I'll wait till election day and then ask me.
Oh, here's Uncle Buckley. What's the matter with you, Uncle Buckley?
I just had a very narrow escape. You're lucky to see me again.
You call that luck?
Riley, what happened, Uncle Buckley?
I've been chased by a pack of ferocious manhunters.
It couldn't be income tax collectors because you ain't got no income.
I am referring to dogs, Riley. Wild dogs. I beat them to the house by inches.
For goodness sake, Uncle Buckley.
Yeah. Wild dogs. How many?
I did not pause to count them. Big beasts with long, sharp fangs. What kind of a town is this where citizens can't walk in the street without being eaten alive by murderous hounds?
Now, don't you start knocking the town. We got a nice little town here, and our dogs behave. They don't eat between meals. Which is more than I can say for some uncles on my wife's side.
You see this rip in my pants?
Correction, my pants.
Lucky for you, I was wearing them instead of you, my cold-blooded nephew. This right here is where one of the monsters clamped his teeth. See how he ripped the pocket?
Maybe he was after your ration book. Dumb dog, don't he know you don't need points for meat anymore?
Laugh if you want. I thought my last hour had come. The rest of the pack was closing in with dripping jaws. And then suddenly...
Hey, Pop, you should have been there. Uncle Buckley just got chased by a dog.
One dog?
Junior, my boy, kindly do not exaggerate. There were conservatively at least 10.
Listen, Uncle Buckley, Junior ain't so hot at arithmetic, but he can count one dog. How big was it, Junior?
Oh, just a little pup.
A little pup? The animal was the size of a full-grown calf.
Uncle Buckley, you didn't even see him good. You were skinning over our back fence so fast.
I cleared the fence in one superhuman leap.
And you snagged your pants on a nail skinning over.
Well, that'll be evidence to prove my story in court.
In court?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. You ain't taking my pants to court.
I am suing the city.
Why?
It's supposed to have a dog catcher.
Well, there is a dog catcher. Isn't there, Riley?
Sure, a fellow named Johnson.
Well, then I'll sue Johnson.
Listen, Uncle Buckley, it wasn't Johnson that chased you over the fence. You better sue the dog. Take him to court of common fleas.
Ha, ha, ha. Very amusing. On second thought, I won't go into court at all. I just have the dog catcher removed from office.
Gee, don't do that. Mr. Johnson is a good dog catcher. Hey, Pop, remember the time we went down to the pond and spoke to him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and Junior were shopping for a dog like I had when I was a kid. Chips, his name was. He was half collie and half dachshund and half bulldog. Well,
dear, that's one and a half dogs. Didn't your dog have another half?
No, there wasn't no other half. From there, he run into 16th.
Oh, that Mr. Johnson treats dogs swell down at the pond.
I'll have that incompetent discharged by this time tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? How you gonna do that?
Why, Mayor Petty is an old college chum of mine.
Oh, Uncle Buck, don't get Johnson fired. Maybe the next dog catcher won't be a nice guy like him.
Don't worry, Junior. Don't worry. Uncle Notebook is talking through his hat. Johnson ain't gonna lose no job.
Don't suppose you want to make a little wager, do you, Riley?
I got $5 that says you don't know the mayor well enough to get nobody fired.
That's a bet. I'll take care of it the first thing tomorrow.
Now, Uncle
Buck. My dear niece, I'm going to teach your husband a lesson. My honor is at stake. And $5.
Look, miss, I'm due at the war plant pretty soon. Can't Mayor Petty see me now? It's important. It's about a guy's job.
Lots of people want to talk to the mayor about getting jobs.
Yeah, but this guy's already got a job. He's the dog catcher.
What's his name?
Johnson. Don't you even know him? Well, believe me, the dogs know him. Why, when a dog gets lost in this town, he goes right down to the pound and gives himself up. Say, what time is it now?
Well, goodbye, Buckley, old boy.
Bye.
I'll be the guest
anytime. Oh, thanks, Bert, old scout, and much obliged for that little favor.
Uncle Buckley, so it's been you that's been keeping me waiting out here. Listen, Mayor Petty, how do you like that? He shuts the door right in my kisser.
I'll let you know when the mayor can see you.
It's no use waiting, Riley. Bert, that is his honor. The mayor has promised to fire Johnson.
Uncle Buckley, if Johnson loses his job, every dog in this town will hate you, me included.
My boy, I'd like you to pay that bet to me in large bills. 2 2s and a 1.
Fine thing, getting a guy fired to win a $5 bet, sure.
It isn't the money, of course. It's the principle of the thing. See you later, Riley.
Say, miss, how long is it going to be before I...
Yes, sir. All right. The mayor will see you now, Mr. Riley.
About time.
Well. Come in. Fine to see you. Fine. Take a chair.
Thank you.
Pardon me a moment. Mamie, what was that matter the governor phoned about?
His name is Riley. Chester A. 77 Blueview Terrace. Married. 2 children. Works at war plant. Registered voter, but he didn't vote last time. Don't know what his complaint is. Something about dog catchers.
Yes, well, tell the governor I'll see him next week. Now then, Mr. Riley. Chet Riley, isn't it? Fine to see you, fine. How are all the boys on Blueview Terrace, eh? That's a nice little district over there, since I put in the sewer.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That's the prettiest sewer I ever seen.
And by the way, Chet, how's the little wife and your 2 kiddies? Lovely kiddies, lovely.
Ah, they're okay, thanks. Say, I didn't know you knew me so good.
Why, Chet, all the citizens of this town are just like my own family to me. And by the way, I didn't see you at the polls last time. We missed you, Chet.
Well, I guess I was kind of busy.
Chet, it's the duty of every citizen to vote for the right man. When you have the right man in office, you can always be sure of getting a little favor when you need it. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's about the dog catcher.
Say no more, Chet. This is the second complaint I've had this morning. Johnson's through.
Wait a minute. I ain't complaining about Johnson. He's a great dog catcher.
Huh?
Yeah, you've been listening to a lot of scandal mongrels. Like that guy who just left here.
Well, I suppose there are 2 sides to the case, Chet. Well, of course, with election coming up, my friend Buckley has promised me strong support in his district.
Is that so? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Mayor. I know a couple of voters myself at the war plant where I work.
I see. And you can swing their votes, huh? Have a cigar, Riley.
Thanks. If you ask me, Johnson's had a dirty deal. For years, he's been catching the dogs and you big guys been taking the bows. But now his friends are lining up in back of Johnson.
They are, eh?
Yep.
How long has this Johnson boom been going on?
I ain't saying. But just on the way down here, I talked to 28 guys who never heard Johnson was dog catcher even, till I told them. But now they're for him. And if I talk to 28 guys a day from now on until election...
Chet, my good man, you can't elect anybody for dog catcher. That job's not on the ballot. Only the mayor can appoint the dog catcher.
Okay. Then me and my friends vote for a mayor that's for Johnson for dog catcher.
I see. I get it, Chet. You might swing your votes to my opponent McHale at the election, huh? Well, I'll think it over. I think I can find a way to take care of Johnson, all right?
Oh, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Riley's on his way up.
Yeah, I'm on my way out. Well, if I don't hear from you, you'll hear from me. Say, now that I'm in politics, have a cigar.
Why, that's the cigar I gave you.
Yeah, I tried this brand once, but I can't figure no way to smoke it and still not be in the room at the same time.
Mimi, two men have been in here this morning making an issue of the dog catcher's job. I suspect a political trick.
Who do you think's back of it, Chief?
Probably Johnson himself. That dog catcher wants to swing votes over to my opponent, young Joe McHale. That's insubordination.
What are you going to do?
Do? I'm going to get Johnson up here. Listen to him with an open mind. Give him a fair hearing, and then fire.
That's the first portion of The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, before we get back into The Life of Riley, I do want to remind all of our listeners that at our Classic Radio Club website at classicradioclub.com, you can join for the first month for only $1. Check it out. It's an introductory offer. You can get 5 CDs with 10 classic radio shows in a collector case with liner notes. Now, that is a $40 product sent to your home for only $1 plus the shipping and handling, which is $4.99. Now, you can get those same 10 shows emailed to your computer, which then you can put them on any listening device, any of your phones, or any listening device, Bluetooth it to your car. That's only $1, 10 classic radio shows, plus the liner notes come in a PDF form. Now, you can cancel at any time, right, Lisa?
Right, so it's $1 for the first month, and then every month thereafter, you will be sent 10 new classic radio shows via CD or digital download, whichever you choose, and every month thereafter. And each of these shows will be in pristine quality and chosen carefully from the library of Carl Amari.
Yep.
So you know that they are the best of the best, and we are so sure you'll love it. That's why $1 is the first month's offer. And if you love it, terrific. And if you don't love it, you can hang on until you are ready to cancel.
Yeah.
But we hope that you'll give it a shot.
Yeah, we think that once you're a member, like all the hundreds of people that are already members and they love it, we think once you're a member, you'll want to stick with it because you'll get these 10 shows sent to your home on CD or to your email. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You'll collect the best quality shows and the coolest shows in the whole collection. And you can try it out for $1. Go to Classic Radio Club.
Yeah, I was going to say, learn more. Go to classicradioclub.com. That's our website.
Yeah, check it all out. All right. It's time now for the conclusion to The Life of Riley.
And now back to The Life of Riley. Riley has put in his day's work at the war plant after leaving the mayor's office, and now we find him home again, waiting for some word from Mayor Petty on the matter of Johnson for dog catcher. When the word comes, it's through an unexpected channel.
Hey, Pop, look who's here to see you. Mr. Johnson, the dog catcher.
Oh, yeah. Glad to see you, Mr. Johnson.
Hello, Mr. Riley.
Excuse me a minute. I think a dog got in the house.
No, it's me. Always do that when I'm nervous. Get a catch in my throat.
Oh,
Mr. Riley, I come here to find out what you got against me.
I got nothing against you. How do you mean?
Mr. Riley, after you talked to the mayor, he got it into his head I'm out to bolt the party. So he tied a can to my tail. I mean, to me. Mr. Riley, I've run that dog pound 8 years.
Junior, go get Mr. Johnson a drink of water. Get it in a pan.
Oh, okay, Pop.
What do you mean the mayor tied a can to you? He told me he'd take care of you.
Well, he took care of me, all right. I'm fired for meddling in politics, it says.
Why, the double-crosser? I didn't think it would work out like that. I was kind of trying to bluff, see? And...
your bluff cost me my job.
Oh, I'm awful sorry, Johnson. I'll have to get you another job to make up for losing you that one.
I don't want any other job. I want my old job back. I like dogs, and dogs like me.
Yeah, I guess you talk their language. Well, don't worry, Mr. Johnson. I'm going to get you your job back as dog catcher.
Mayor's pretty sore. Says I'm biting the hand that feeds me.
Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you something. He ain't feeding you. The taxpayers feed him. Who does he think he is?
He's the mayor, Mr. Riley.
Oh, yeah? And how does a mayor get his job? The people give it to him. And they can take it back if they want it. They can vote for the fellow that's running against him, young Joe McHale.
Guess Mr. McHale would appoint me ball catcher. But most folks think McHale hasn't got a chance to win.
He didn't have maybe, but now he's got me on his side. Listen, already I got a great campaign slogan.
You have?
Yeah. A dog is man's best friend, and a dog's best friend is Johnson, and Johnson's best friend is McHale for mayor.
Hey, that sounds good. Mr. McHale does like dogs. He drops in at the pound every so often.
Oh, here's some water, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, thank you.
Go on, Johnson, lap it up. I mean, drink it. Now, if we're running McHale against Mayor Petty, we gotta knock Petty.
Pop, I got a slogan to knock Mayor Petty with.
Yeah?
How's this? A doghouse in everyone's yard, and Mayor Petty in everyone's doghouse.
That's a good one, Junior. That's the one.
Yes, it's excellent.
Okay, we start our campaign tomorrow night. Now, I'll phone McHale and tell him we're electing him the next mayor, and he's got to make you dog catcher.
You really think we can swing it? That Mayor Petty's pretty smart.
Well, don't worry. I'll outsmart him. I got more brains in my little finger than I got in my whole head. Look at Peg. Here's our ad in the paper. For Mayor, Joe McHale. For dog catcher, Ulysses Johnson. Able, honest, fearless. Mass meeting tonight, Mechanics Hall.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Riley.
What?
They called up from the hall and you can't have it tonight.
What? Why not?
Well, the hall's been condemned or something. It seems the mayor ordered the fire department to close it till further notice. That's dirty politics, Pop.
I'll say. Well, there's only one thing to do. I'll hold my meeting in the park. That's free. Friends and fellow citizens, I want to introduce our next mayor, Mr. Joe McHale.
Fellow citizens.
That's enough, buddy. Bring it up.
What's the matter, officer? Ain't we got free speech in this country?
Not without a license. You got a license to make a speech here in the park?
I ain't making a speech. I'm talking to myself. Can I help it if this crowd is listening?
Well, you'll pipe down till you get a license.
Where do I get a license?
You gotta see the mayor.
Dirty politics.
Guess it's no use, Riley. Tomorrow's election day and we still haven't found a place to talk. Mayor's got them all sewed up. Ain't he, Mr. McHale?
Yeah, looks like it. Petty's having a mass meeting of his own in the park tonight.
He is, huh? Listen, I got one of my most great ideas. If he won't let us talk at our meeting, we'll talk at his meeting.
At his meeting? How?
Mr. Johnson, you still got a key to the pound, ain't you?
Yes, sir. I sneak down there at night and kind of look at the dogs.
Okay, you go down there and get the dog catcher's wagon. And then tonight,
When Mayor Petty's talking in the park, we'll drink.
Close as we can get without being seen. Gee, look at the big crowd.
Okay, stop the truck. Junior, you back there with the dogs?
Oh, yeah, Pop.
Okay, get out and get up close to the platform. Johnson?
Yes, Riley.
You get at the other side of the platform and I'll get in front. Take your signal from me. Mr. McHale?
Yes, Riley.
When you hear the signal, Mr. McHale, do like I said. Okay, let's go.
To listen to the inspiring words of the great-hearted man who will be our next mayor. Honest, able, and fearless, he has come here tonight to answer all of his critics. Ladies and gents, Mayor Phineas T. Petty.
Hello, TV fans. When you go to the polls tomorrow, there will be only one question in your mind, and that question will be...
Where's my dog gone?
No heckling, please.
Who's heckling? All I ask is, where's my dog?
I am not the dog catcher.
Well, that's tough. This town needs a good dog catcher. Since you fired Johnson, nobody can find their dogs.
Stop it, officer. You've lost your dog. Go to the pound.
They ain't in the pound no more. They're all over town.
Ridiculous.
Is that so? I bet my poor little dog is wandering lost in this park right now.
Hey, this is a political trick. There are no dogs at large in our fair city tonight.
I dare you to let me call my dog.
Go ahead. But be quick about it. This is a serious political meeting.
Here, Fido! Here, Fido!
Here, Fido! Here, Fido!
I hear him. Here, Fido! Here, Fido! Come on, boy! Here, Fido! Oh, dogs loose, huh? Listen to that, folks! Here, Fido! Turn him off, Dumplin.
Oh, Riley, don't you want to hear your candidate talk?
I already heard him. He made the only speech I wanted out of him when he said, I appoint Johnson dog catcher again.
Well, that was a pretty tricky politics you played on Mayor Petty, though. Breaking up his meeting by sticking dogs on him.
Boy, you sure look comical running out of that park. You know, Peg, that's the first time I ever seen a dog race which had an electric mayor.
Good evening, friends. Well, Riley, my boy, congratulations.
Why, Uncle Buckley, I thought you were on Mayor Petty's side.
Ex-Mayor Petty.
Don't tell me his being licked for mayor broke up your beautiful friendship, Uncle Buckley.
He's no friend of mine. If he had fired the dog catcher as a favor to me, I'd have won my bet with you, Riley. But he double-crossed me. The scoundrel fired Johnson for political reasons.
So you admit I win, huh?
Well, so it seems, my boy.
Spoke like a man. Where's the five spot?
Well, Riley, I want to pay you off in something better than money. You see, if I gave you $5, it'd be spent and forgotten. That's why I have brought you a present worth five times $5. Bring it in, Junior.
Look at Pop. Here's what you won from Uncle Buckley.
A dog. My favorite breed. A cockeyed spaniel.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson gave him to Uncle Buckley to give to you.
You got him free, Uncle Buckley? I thought you said he was worth dough.
Why, he is. If I'm any judge, what you have there is a very valuable Australian bush dog. I've often seen them roaming in the veldt. Notice the bushy eyebrows. Oh, a rare find, Riley.
Oh, he's cute, Riley.
Oh, he's the same one that chased Uncle Buckley, Pop. Mr. Johnson had him in the pound.
Oh, so that's the little fellow that started the whole thing, huh? Imagine Uncle Buckley being afraid of a little pup like that. Ain't you ashamed, Uncle Buckley?
Well, when I first met this dog, it was still in a wild state. It's been tamed since then.
Hold on to it, Junior. Nah, don't be scared, Uncle Buckley. A dog knows if you're afraid of him.
Nice, doggy. Come on, doggy. Nice little doggy.
Oh, look out, Riley.
No dog can talk to me like that in my own house. What you gotta do with a dog like that, you gotta look him right in the eye like this. Go right up and pat him like this. Hey, take him off! Keep away from me! Lock that mud up, Junior! He bit me!
He didn't bite you, Pop. He only barked.
Is that so? Well, he just barked the seat out of my pants.
Hey, folks, the Rileys will be back in just a moment. As Riley says, it's wonderful to have meat back on the table. You're going to hop out of bed a little faster because there's good meat for breakfast. You're going to open up your lunch box or sit down at the lunch table more eagerly because there will be more generous slices of meat in your sandwiches. And as for dinner, you won't have to slice the roast paper thin. There'll be enough to go around of that good meat that everybody wants. You've missed that meat, haven't you? Your mouth has been watering for meat, and more of it. Well, here's something you may not have thought of. That craving for meat is an age-old instinct, an instinctive reaching out for the right kind of proteins, the complete, highest quality proteins that are essential to the growth, replacement, and repair of every body tissue, and the formation of the antibodies which fight infection. As long as you get enough meat in your three meals a day, you can be sure you're getting proteins of highest quality and the right kind. All meats, regardless of cut or kind, gives you the right kind of proteins. Yes, now you can make meat your everyday, every meal yardstick of protein foods, because meat measures up to every protein need. All statements regarding the nutritional value of meat made on this program are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Well, Riley, I'm glad to see you and the dog are getting along better with each other now.
Oh, yeah. We're the best of friends now. I made a deal with him. He can sit in my chair when he's in the house, and I can sit in his kennel when I'm out in the yard.
The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix, is sponsored by the American Meat Institute. We'll be back next week at the same time. William Bendix appears on this program by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley was directed by Don Bernard, with music by Lou Kozloff, and came to you from Hollywood. This is Ken Niles saying, see y'all next week. This is the Blue Network.
WENR at your service, Chicago 54.
That's The Life of Riley, May 7th, 1948, flashback to when he was a dog catcher, starring William Bendix.